Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
We're talking about the 10 rules to live by in business, and we're on part two, and at the end I'll run through the other ones, but for right now we're going to jump right in with number five. And these are absolute principles that, you know, in nearly 30 years that I have learned, and I'm definitive on these. These are not open for negotiation. Number six, don't change horses in the middle of a race. What am I talking about? When you're on a massive project, a major endeavor within your business, and you're struggling with the team that you have, be very careful. The tendency is to ditch somebody at the top, and I know everything dies and falls on leadership, but I have found specifically if this project involves servicing a client and you change horses, the lead person, you move out, they question you for the whole rest of the project. Be very careful about switching horses in the middle of a race. And I'm talking about when you're dealing with clients. You're having trouble, you know, so-and-so is the head of this project, And they're not doing a great job. And you may even feel like you need to get rid of them afterwards. Run next to them. Don't replace them. A couple reasons. Again, your clients will question why they were ever on the project to start with. Everything that this existing person did, your clients are going to question whether it was done correctly. Okay? Number three is that person knows where all the bodies are buried. So there may be information that person knows that you're going to need later, and try getting it after you terminate them. Run next to them. This allows you to see if, in fact, they were the problem. Maybe you just put them out over their skis and it was just too much for them. But I have found, because I did this before, I was on a big project, got in an argument with one of my supervisors, you know, kind of had it out with them, got rid of them, and then literally my life was hell for like 4 weeks after that. And I could kick myself because it was arrogance. And I thought, well, I'm just going to jump in, you know, take over. You know, I'm going to ride in with the white coat, however that works, you know, and the mask, and I'm going to save the day. No, I was playing defense from the very first second. What I should have done is run next to this person. Maybe I would have learned something. Maybe I could have mentored this person through the situation, but be very, very careful. Don't change horses in the middle of a race. And you can apply that in many different ways. Next, I always say this one, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. This is an axiom I'm married to, in that in business, sometimes you're in situations with people, and the tendency is always to think you can replace them. But this person comes to work every day. You kind of understand their weaknesses, but you also understand a few strengths that they have that are very valuable. I mean, I'm assuming there's some value there. I mean, you don't stick with somebody who just brings no value to the equation, okay? But someone who does bring value to the equation, but they're not perfect. Again, I talked about, you know, there is no perfect sometimes. So better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. You just don't keep replacing people to replace people. If they come to work on time and they're giving you their all, and there is an upside and you can trust them, you do have some employees that open the doors for you. Not every employee, I know we want to talk about this perfect culture. Not every employee moves the needle. Some of them just allow you to not forfeit the game. You know, I remember, you know, coaching a softball team. I had a softball team with one of my businesses. And literally, we would have games that were makeup games, and not forfeiting or not having like just like two, three outfielders where we had like one open spot. I was like, if I can get enough of people just to fill the outfield so that people just didn't like direct the ball to one side of the field, we could win. You know, I just need enough players to not forfeit. Sometimes in business, that's reality. It's reality. You know, you got to have a body there, so that they don't just hit it to the open field because you think you can pull it off with eight players. No, again, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. A person who comes to work, who gives you their all, and their all is a C, there are certain positions where that's acceptable. and that can work. Again, I love hiring super talented people, but you're going to find that about 20% of your staff does about 80% of moving the needle. Okay? And some people just fill up gaps in the field. Okay? You can't fix stupid. Now, this is a criteria in hiring. If somebody's just not very bright, and that some people can, you know, a good interview, you can expose this to them. I've never figured out how you can fix stupid. Their capacity to do anything beyond just a robotic, you know, other than like being a greeter or handing a customer something or just doing, maybe working in an assembly line. I apologize, but I have not figured out how to fix stupid. And you give me somebody smart, and a year from now, they're doing two jobs for me. My smartest people all are doing multiple positions for me right now. I'm addicted to smart. And this is not SAT smart. This is not degree smart. This is somebody who just understands a position within my company, and they're bright, and they just pick things up. They solve problems. And they come to me and tell me how they solved it. I don't even have to be involved in it sometimes. And then you find some people that are just crippled by any problem. They can't solve any problem. They overthink everything, or they're just not very bright. You can't fix stupid. Okay. Number 9. Okay. If you're not saving money, if you're not putting money in reserves in your business, you're an employee. This took me a decade to figure this out. The tendency is when you start a business to extract as much cash as you can to inflate your lifestyle as the business owner, because you're the one who took the risk, you're the one who took the sacrifice. And what ends up happening is that your personal nut to crack each month is really a nut that the company has to crack. At some point, you have to separate the two. You have your personal income from the company, and it's a certain number. But that number is such that the company is a separate entity, and it's putting money in reserves, whether that's for research and development, that's for scaling, that's for, you know, your rainy day fund. But they have to run separately. As a small business owner, the tendency is that your lifestyle is the business is just paying for your lifestyle, and you're extracting all the cash out of it. So again, you need to be saving a percentage of all money that comes into your business. And until I realized this, I was nothing but an employee. I was a hostage of my company. Number 5, which is going to be number 10 in the total thing. And I've never regretted a customer I passed on. And I've shared this with people all the time. They'll tell me about this customer that they really, really want. And the customer is just so darn difficult. And I've had them, and I'm always, whenever I'm looking to bring on, you know, a client and a project, I share with this client that I'm probably interviewing you as much as you're interviewing our company, because I'm deciding if this is a customer that we can meet their expectation. Some people want perfect, and I don't think there is perfect. Can we meet their deadlines? Are we on the same page regarding the scope of work that they want done? This is important on any project. I've got multiple things going on at all times. I have multiple teams working on different projects. And we're always talking about this. We can live without this person. Like, we wanted to work with this person, but it's not working out that way. And I'm like, no, I don't regret that. I don't regret that. That person became too difficult to be a part of our team. So I've never regretted the customer I've passed on. The tendency is the customer under the client. The tendency is when you're starting your business, you take everybody. And I understand the survival period. I mean, I completely get that and I understand it. But as fast as you can, move out of that. Move out of that and get to where you're able to discern customers that are not a good fit for your business. And if you do that, then you're going to grow. And people also are fascinated when they realize that you're picky as well. Everybody wants to be chosen. So I've never regretted the customer I've passed on. Let me run through these really quick. The 10 rules to live by in business is a recap of two podcasts, because this is the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I can't promise happiness, so there is no perfect in business. And I let clients know that. I try to manage expectations. I tell them I'm competitive, very competitive, and I want to do great. But, you know, if the bar is perfect, I'm going to pass on taking you as a client, and that ties into number 10. We'll get there. I start over on Mondays with no customers and no cash. It keeps me from being complacent. I can't manage people that cannot manage themselves. Okay, there's a limit there. They're exhausting, and you're running a rehab center if you think you can do that. And you're asking your staff to carry the overlap because somebody's got to work with these people after you hire them, and they get exhausting. You start finding out they're coming to work late every day and such and such. Okay, business is nothing but math. You're either winning or you're losing. Look at your P&L statement. Look at your cash flow. Are you winning or are you losing? This is not rocket science. You have a certain amount of money to produce a product and or sell a product and or attract customers. And at the end of the month, you have either you're making money or you're losing money. Don't change horses in the middle of a race. Run with that horse, okay? Get on the back of the horse with them if need be. But don't switch horses. You're going to lose, your team's going to lose confidence, especially if you're in the middle of a project and or a client. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. Again, I live by this. Person comes to work every day. They're giving you a C. Put them in a place where they can't hurt you, but reliability is an asset, and that's somebody that you can work with. You can't fix stupid. You have a people that work for you that just aren't bright. They have just no overlap in their intelligence. They're so limited. Be very careful. I say this. You can't fix stupid. But what you can do with brilliance is just unbelievable. Super smart people can do multiple jobs for you. So I could have worded this multiple ways. You can't fix stupid, and gosh, what you can do with smart is unbelievable. If you're not saving money, you're just an employee of your company, you need to be putting money in reserves. Absolutely critical. And finally, number 10, I've never regretted the customer or the client that I passed on. Never. Never, ever. I've only regretted the one that I had that gut feeling that I shouldn't have taken, and I did. My ego got to me, or the money was too good, and each time that was an absolute regret. This is Sean Castorina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. So grateful that you listen. This podcast continues to grow and become so popular. It's brought to you by GetStartedMarketing.com. If you need more leads, you need more sales, you just don't understand marketing, why don't you reach out to somebody who's really good at it, GetStartedMarketing.com, and get a free analysis.